Welcome, partners, to the first episode of the Out for Lunch podcast in 2023. My name is Griffin McCurlin, and we are thrilled to see you coming back here for more digestible content in 2023. But quickly, before we jump into the content of today's episode, I would just like to thank each and every one of you, whether you've been a part of the show or just listened to the show. You are what keeps production going, and we couldn't do it without you. In 2022 alone, our first full calendar year in the books, 18 episodes, over 4,000 listens in 79 countries. Thank you. Now, on the menu of today's episode is the topic of SAP Build, the newest unified low-code solution portfolio built on SAP BTP, which enables everyone, no matter the skill level, to create and augment enterprise applications, automate processes, and design business sites with drag and drop simplicity. Our special guest today is Jagdish Sahasrabude, Partner Chief Technology Officer for Business Applications and Platform. So let's see what he's having for lunch. Enjoy.
Well, I had a chicken sandwich, and I love the crispy fries around it. Of course, a salad, a little salad. So yeah, that was my lunch, and I loved it.
Amazing. I'm having leftovers today. Pasta, chicken, broccoli. But today, the topic that we're talking about today, and I got to say, Jagdish, thank you so much for coming on, because this is an exciting topic. It's going to be very cool to see where this goes and what our partners and customers use this for. But the topic is SAP Build, a part of the SAP Business Technology Platform. This sounds like a revolutionary kind of toolbox that we're unlocking and giving to our partners and customers. Mm-hmm. So what is this? If you want to dive a little deeper, what is SAP Build in your eyes?
Yeah, well, let's before we jump into kind of opening our toolkit with, oh, here's a solution that we are kind of vending. Mm-hmm. Let's take a step back to understand where the market is going. Why are we doing this, right? Let's go to the why first and then kind of go deeper into the what, right?
Okay.
If you look at, since the beginning of when automation and enterprises and our customers started bringing computers and automation to help them manage their businesses, there is this notion of an IT department, right? Or there is a notion of consulting services vendors who is a community where they are the ones who build software, who implement software. And oh, by the way, finally, when they deliver their solution, then we have so-called end users who use that software. So it was a very clear differentiation between people who build software and innovate and people who use software. The reason this is so big is because that whole paradigm is changing. That whole paradigm is changing because a close-knit community of experts, professional experts who are trained in computer science and have degrees and all that, being kind of the innovators, is no longer valid. If we want to digitize an entire enterprise, and that's what customers are doing. They're doing continuing on their digital transformation journey, moving to the cloud and all that. We cannot have innovation and development in a siloed, in a defined community. So this is about democratization of innovation. This is about democratization of people who build apps. Every end user, a so-called citizen user, is because they're called citizen user because they don't have a computer science degree. They might have a finance degree. They might have an HR. They might be working on the supply chain areas, in workshops and logistics and a lot of different areas. So they are the business, right? They are the actual people driving the business, but they have never done or added anything to help innovate in the area of a software service or a solution. This is about taking the tools and getting to them, arming them with ammunition so they can actually do their own innovation. They can build it out on their own to solve their business problems. Yeah. So to me, this is about democratization of that, moving it from a niche group of people to broadly across the enterprise. So, you know, just like to say everybody can cook or anybody can cook, anybody should be able to do that innovation. And that's really what this is about.
I love that term, democratizing innovation. And it's true. When you think of building an application or creating a workflow automation or processes, you think, you know, you think of what the movies kind of represented this to be, whether it's kind of the black screen with code flying across and you have the stereotypical kind of person with glasses and they're typing away and you guys won't understand this. But now this is really unlocking, like you said, getting rid of the niche area and bringing everybody into the picture. And I think that's amazing.
It's about inclusivity. It's about including everybody to participate in that innovation. Those people who are driving the business, as I explained before, the people in finance, HR, supply chain, all that, they know the business problems for the customer. They know what is needed to solve it. But today's process is they explain the business problem to a business analyst. The business analyst turns it around to a software developer. The software developer develops something, and then the innovation finally. By the time, sometimes months and years have gone by, mm-hmm. and is the final end user's need getting satisfied or not is always questionable. So why not take the tools and make the tools easier? Make the tools, you know, as easy as Excel and Word and Outlook and Zoom and Teams and others, take it to them and coach them on how they can build their own innovation. So this is where the term hyper automation comes in, is because when you have a fixed amount of people who are building it, automation will be limited. You know, the boundaries will be limited because ultimately it becomes a resource and a capacity thing. When an end user today submits a request to, for it to be developed, they are told to wait in line and come 2 years later, mm-hmm. literally, right? But if they can build it on their own, that will take automation to a non-linear growth path, and that's hyper automation for the enterprise, and overall is going to further the digitization agendas that most CEOs have for their businesses today.
Gosh, it's going to be fascinating to see what our whole ecosystem and what our customers do with this toolkit and what they're going to be able to do without having to be so technically advanced. They can, like you said, it's a drag and drop. It's click, not code, and I think it's amazing.
Exactly, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, it's click, not code. It's yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So this toolkit kind of has three elements to it. So there's the build or the build apps, there's the build process automation, and the build work zone. So I just want to kind of take some time to go through those three and what those three are and what they mean.
Yeah. So let's continue our thinking track in terms of I'm an HR user. I'm part of the HR department of an enterprise, and I look at talent management in the company. I look at onboarding of employees. I look at sometimes payroll and recruitment, and a lot of functions that the HR department typically is involved in. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you look at what are my needs today, right? I have access to typically it's an SAP SuccessFactors system that gives me, it tells me to log on. It tells me, let me look up these employee details. Okay, so I have some of the basic business processes, if you like, laid out in my SuccessFactors map, right? But now suddenly, as I'm doing my work, I realize that I'm actually spending a lot of time looking at various lists, and I'm mapping those lists. I download them in Excel, and then I go and map them to some other recruiting software. I look at candidate profiles. I suddenly see that my job is becoming difficult because of the multiple systems I access. Even in SuccessFactors, I have to go to multiple areas just to get my job done, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I say, well, okay, how can I say go to SAP Build and open its first area, which is the apps area. So SAP Build apps. So what do? I open up a highly visual interface, right? And I say, Well, my task is get a list of employees, and in this other non-SAP recruitment software, yeah, I want to know which employees have referred new candidates. I just want to do a mash, like, you know, like that. Okay, well, open up a visual app, take the data from SAP, take the data from this recruiting app, and literally, I mean, I'm not, this is not magic. Literally, I have the data available exactly the shape I want. Rather than depend on how SuccessFactors is laid out and how this recruiting software is laid out, I just define my own widget.
Yeah.
And that widget is this SAP build apps. Now I can share it with other people, but I can just keep it as my own private application. And you know, I can just keep on building my own little library of widgets. And by the way, this can be a mobile app as well. And you know, it goes on beyond that, but that's the simple app thing. The other thing that I sometimes notice is that a lot of users in their day-to-day work, they do a lot of repeatable activities, like take data from one system, enter data in some other system, or even within the same system, do a lot of manual tasks. And they have immense number of requests, you know, to IT and others to help them increase their productivity, because that's literally what they're doing. That's not an HR function. That's a take data from here and put data there kind of a data entry. And it's really a loss of productivity, right? So what robotics allows them to do, it's a software robot. A software robot, you can actually give them instructions saying, here, this is what I do. Yeah, just record my actions. And then the software robot kind of records those actions. And then you can say, well, run this every day at 10 in the morning. While I go and grab a cup of coffee, my manual activities are done. And that's what the second area of SAP build is, which is the RPA and the robotics process. And you can, every user will have a different set of manual tasks that they want to automate. One user will be different from the other. And so this can be, again, something very personal, very manual, directly benefiting a boost in productivity for the user, but you add that up and an enterprise will suddenly have a boost in productivity.
Yeah.
Because you have reduced the manual activity and you're now doing the real role function, HR or finance, whatever.
Yeah. Before we get into the third piece here, just to cut in here, I know what people might be hearing, if they haven't seen kind of the demos or they haven't read about it yet, it might seem kind of shocking or they might not believe it. They think, okay, well, these things aren't typically easy to do. And we've had trouble with this in the past. So I don't know how much can I really believe this stuff, but seeing the demos and seeing the images and the screenshots, I haven't used the platform myself. I'm not a developer. I'm not, you know, in these spaces, but I've seen it, and it is surprisingly simple. And like you said, the visual orientation of it all and how simply you can just do the process automation that you just said, or create a new task or build these things together. It is shockingly, intuitive.
Intuitive is the right word.
Yes.
The right word. Yeah,
so, absolutely. So sorry, I just wanted to cut in there and just say that, you know, this is a crazy innovation for these users, which is unbelievable. So,
yeah. I mean, I think at face value, technology can be daunting, right? It gives you kind of get presented a complex interface or a complex tool to do it. Like, well, you know, like where do I even start? But then, there are a lot of these end users who are masters at using Microsoft Excel, for example. People can write macros, quick formulas. So I would say that's a productivity tool that is a citizen developer tool. You don't write code, but you can get data pulled down into Excel and you can do magic with that, right? Mm-hmm. So, but Excel allows you to be contained in a spreadsheet-like format. So this is just, if you can use Excel, you will be masters of these tools that we are bringing to market. Let's just call it simple. You can use Word, Outlook, PowerPoint, Excel, some of the traditional Microsoft or other companies' productivity tools. This will be a very, you know, highly effective and a straightforward process for you.
Wow.
So yeah, just to continue on that, the third element, it's really, you know, when you develop an app or when you have a robot what ultimately happens is that you start making a library out of this. Like you have these different widgets and you need a little bit more to be organized in order to kind of go to a central location and access these different artifacts or, you know, widgets that you have in your personal folder and all that. And that's really what WorkZone is about. We call it portal, you call it a business site is what, you know, and it is the simplest content management, user portal level content management framework that, allows you to simply, easily publish and manage all these artifacts that you're changing. Maybe 6 months later, you don't use an app anymore, but take it out and then use the new app to, you know, replace it with a new app. And all of these kind of things, very easy to do and manage it in WorkZone, because otherwise you can have a whole library and then that itself could be an administrative overhead I think the management of it all is a very important aspect of it. Yeah.
So the WorkZone is essentially a dashboard or a portal to kind of host everything that you're creating in process automation or in the apps section.
Correct. But it's not just a portal. It allows you to manage all these artifacts and widgets in a way that you want to manage them, lay them out, retire them, replace them, you know, so it is much more than a portal. It's actually a full front-end content management area that you can just personalize to yourself, right? And so very heavy personalization, features. And so, but you start with apps, you start with, you know, your bots and other things, and then WorkZone allows you to manage and maintain it properly. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. So we've got, like I said, the three tools in this toolkit I can't get over how much I love the term of democratizing innovation, just giving these tools freely to everybody and breaking down those barriers for everyone. So it's been out for about a month now. And I'm sure that we've gotten some feedback and I'm sure that we've gotten some questions. So how is it being received? What are partners thinking? What are customers thinking? What is kind of the general consensus of how this is being used, operated, adopted? What's the overall feel of this, Jagdish?
I think it's going extremely well. It's still early days, but the initial look at it has been very, very positive, I think. And this is across market segments, by the way. This is, you know, the larger enterprises are thinking how they have always been looking at tools to how to kind of, you know, empower distributed empowerment of, and this is really what, you know, this is doing, right? You're giving technology in the hands of citizens to, hey, saying, you know, build the innovation that you have always wanted to do, and rather than wait in line with your request, right? So larger enterprises are keen on doing that. Smaller enterprises have always been like, well, all the professional code development, high cost of developing it, you know, skills are not easy to find, by the way, with all of the, macroeconomic business, issues we have. Go try and, hire 5 full stack developers and tell me how your experience was. Yeah. It is very, very difficult to hire quality programmers and professional code developers. So even in that era where no matter how many computer science graduates our universities are kind of, delivering to the market, the demand from customer digitization is so heavy that you're not going to be able to satisfy with everybody with a professional code developer. Yeah. Right?
And that exactly. So you can leverage these non-technical business users or just regular people on train them on build apps. You can train them on build this process automation. You can train them on build WorkZone, and your everyday kind of Joe Blow who's not in the coding space can be your coding guy. They can be.
Yeah. And like I said before, to begin with, they are the people who actually know what business problem to solve anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, the professional code developer never knew what business problems are to be solved. So the requirements are actually coming from these heavy duty, like these business users. So it's been received very positive from both enterprises and the C-suite of the enterprise to kind of empower their citizens. From a citizens and from a business user's perspective, this is like, wow, I now have something that I can do on my own, very personalized to me, and so they are loving it as well. But it will be, it will take time. It will be like, you know, months will go by before we have a, you know, serious set of people. We are going to train and enable a lot of people, you know, over time. There are boot camps happening. There is self-service kind of, you know, technology content and exercises that we could just go through a tutorial and just walk your way through, you know. And by the way, the whole SAP Build Suite is already available on a free tier. So there's no money to get started. Just, you know, click on BTP free tier and start building your first, you know, demo app. And it's just as simple as that. So very good interest to begin with, and you know, more to come.
Yeah, amazing. And that's a good point that you bring up about BTP, and something that may not be clear. So do you need to already have, like you said, do you need to already have BTP to be able to use these? Or like you said, can you just jump onto free tier and give these a go? Just what's BTP's relationship in all of this?
Well, so what do you mean by BTP is you need a BTP account. Like, that's the term to use. So you need a BTP account, and then you subscribe to the Build, you know, apps and these services, and then they are included in your BTP account, and that's when you start, you know, execute it, and the tutorial will guide you through all these steps, right? Here's step one, step two, step three, and so go to Partner Edge, which is the destination. You know, look for SAP Build. Yeah, maybe we can insert some links.
You definitely can.
Yep. And so that's the place to go, place to start, and just have it a go. I think that's the best way to kind of judge it for yourself.
Okay, great. Well, I mean, I guess that might be, I know we're coming to the close of this, and that those might be the final words. Those might be the closing remarks. But Jagdish, before we kind of close off here, and we'll have one more question after we close off this segment. But what do you recommend for partners and customers to do now after hearing this podcast, after, you know, reading a white paper, after seeing a video on this and seeing it on kind of the Partner Edge portal or wherever they might find this? What do they do next?
They should talk to their customers about how their digital transformations are continuing to kind of grow throughout their enterprises, and really look at some, you know, one of the lines of businesses, a business unit, a department where customers might be kind of, you know, more interested because their needs are heavy. IT has not been able to kind of resolve it for them. Partners should first get to know the product themselves, and then really they could build scenarios. You know, partners could build use cases, scenarios to kind of prove the point, maybe build a few bots. Build a few low-code, no-code apps, some samples, and then take it to their customers to kind of explain and prove the point on how this can be easily be done by them in a self-service. And for the partner as well, when you engage, your talent and your expertise on these tools, you don't have to start with your professional coders either, right? Yeah, bring your business analysts, bring the people who understand domain, bring the people who understand industries, and then let them try these tools out, right? So partners are our fundamental vehicle to go to market, right? I mean, partners know the end customer's business problems much better than we as a vendor of, you know, these tools do, right? They know the pain points, they know the next steps of innovation. So I think try it out, build samples, build use cases, and you're ready to take it to your customers. That's what I would recommend to partners.
Great. Okay, Jagdish, before I let you go, I have one final question here. It's a staple here at the Out for Lunch podcast. If you were to have lunch with any famous person, celebrity, icon, idol of yours, you could sit down, have a conversation with them. Who would it be?
I would say Tim Cook of Apple would be my dream, an hour lunch with. Yeah. But yeah, that would be my choice.
He'd be an interesting guy. I mean, Apple is always, especially coming from an innovative space. You know, you talk about an innovative company. You know, Apple kind of has solidified itself as that you know, manifestation of what innovation means. So,
exactly.
Very, very fitting. You know, coming from your background and what you work on. So. Fantastic.
Exactly.
All right, Jagdish. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. I'm sure this is a very valuable podcast for anybody that's going to be listening. This episode is tremendous. SAP Build on SAP BTP. It's out now. Give it a try. Jagdish, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, partners, for tuning in to the first episode of 2023 of the Out for Lunch podcast. And a big thank you to Jagdish for joining me in the diner. If you like the episode, please give us a review on the platform you are using so we can improve the experience for you. Have a great day, have a great year, and stay tuned for the next one. Stay hungry.